the book. This is my second book, Faith Over Every Obstacle and Opposition. As you know, in our journey of faith, we will encounter obstacle, we have opposition. I was talking about this book a few years ago. I was preaching somewhere in KL, and you know, the faith over every opposition, and somebody suggested that Najib should have read this. Yeah. But obviously he didn't read it, that's why he lost. So anyway, today I want to talk about intimacy with God. And if I can summarize this message, it is keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Because we go through a lot of ups and downs. You know, just like, you know, you have 20 people today, we have less. Lots of ups and downs. And I just want to encourage you. I just want to comfort you. I just want to say that God has a reward for you just because you did not give up. I mean, not because you achieved something, you have done something great, and you have you're fantastic. Just because you did not give up, God has a reward for you just for that. Amen. Amen. That's why I brought this ball. You know, this ball, I bought this from my niece, and she was like 1 year, 1 year plus, and I played this ball with her. And so then her father migrated to Singapore and came on holidays, and she don't remember me except this ball. So when she saw me, she said, "Hey, the ball, the ball, the ball." So I quickly, you know, because the ball that she had, she took to Singapore, so I quickly had to buy a new ball. Then I realized I had to borrow this ball, because I want to say that, can you say with me? Every time I hit the floor, I bounce back.
Every time I hit the floor, I bounce back.
Amen. If you have this concept, like Paul, forgetting what is behind, not that I have apprehended, but forgetting what is behind, I move forward to the upward call of God. Amen. So to remember this ball, remember when you are down, okay, don't stay down too long. This ball, never stay down. You hit the floor, always bounce back. Amen. It's not like this. You know, stay down there. Okay, bounce back. Okay, bounce back in Christ. Bounce back in the Lord. Hallelujah. So today I just want to share with you about resting. Actually, I was with a brother. I bumped into him, I think almost supernaturally, in a sense, because he's a dear friend of mine. Dear friend of mine. And my appointment at 4 o'clock was cancelled at the last minute. So I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to come here during the rush back hour. Right, so I came here early, and so I just wanted to have something to eat. So I parked my car on one side of the one end of the block. I walked to the last one. I entered. I saw my friend there. Right, so very good friend of mine, and we were talking about intimacy. You know, usually I like to preach or share what is in my heart, and we started talking about Martha and Mary. Right. This is not part of the message. I didn't, because I had other scriptures, but we talked about it. So I just want to share with you. I have a message from this little portion of scripture, Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Are you there? You let me know. Okay. Luke chapter 10, verse 39. And you know the story, so I read straight to verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So you have a chance as a believer of Christ to be intimate with God, and it will not be taken away from you, but you can throw it away. You understand? The choice, the door, the access, the opportunity is given equally to Martha and Mary to draw near to Christ, to have an intimate relationship with God. Every one of us has this opportunity in Christ, but sadly, we can also choose to throw that opportunity away. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. I'm really pulling your leg, Pastor Benjamin. I said 5 hours, it may be way shorter than you're actually ready for. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Okay. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, the writer of the book Hebrews said, okay, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we are already cleansed. We are already forgiven. So what's the next thing to do? What did the writer of the book Hebrews say? Draw near to God. You see, many of us are believers. We are in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We are cleansed. We are purified. We are washed by the blood of Jesus. And many people just want to stay there. Okay, I'm a Sunday Christian. I just go. I'm a believer. I confess my sin before God, and I'm forgiven. That's all. But here, the writer of book Hebrews says, draw near. Draw near. Just don't stay there. Just don't stay at a state where you know that your sins are forgiven and your conscience are cleansed. But draw near. And I want to share with you something that I have discovered many, many years ago, which actually supposed to be the fourth book. I have now maybe 11 or 12 books. I only published 2. So, but I want to share a revelation that I had. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Okay. And many times when we talk about drawing near to God, it's on the outward. On the outward, right? I think about the Holy Spirit. I think about God. I think about Jesus. And it is outward. I just remember this thing is here, so I've got to stay around you here. Right? So, and we are thinking about the outside, the exterior of it in our relationship with God. But God wants to have an intimate relationship with us within. Amen. Within. So, intimacy through an exchange, giving of ourselves to God so that God can give himself to us. So, because in John chapter 17, Jesus said, right, you don't have to turn to it, I just quote it, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you may know the Father. No, that word know, in the original Greek, it actually comes from the word where we draw the word sexual intercourse. So, but actually, in the right proper perspective, it talks about an intimate relationship. So the word know, when you read the New Testament, the word appear, it's not about I know you. It is an intimate knowing, just as a husband know a wife, coming together as one. So when Jesus prayed that I and the Father are one, that we may be one, it's a union. It's a union. It is giving myself to God so that he can have a part of me. So the more I give myself to him, the more what is mine is his, until we become one. Amen. John 14. Are you here with me? I'm very concerned about the 3 little girls there and the big boy. Okay. So I have like auntie there, and I have the little ones there, so I don't know, I have to target different types, I have to target different people, alright? So I have to make it simple, I have to make it, but I know this auntie is hungry for the word. Are you hungry for the word? Yes, you I sense the hunger, I sense when you worship, I sense the hunger for the word, okay? So but I have to simplify some things, I have to remember to simplify for the four behind, right? Alright, so, okay, John chapter 14, right? Okay. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Verse 20. Let's begin at verse 20. Alright. Let's begin at verse 17. John chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with you. So our relationship is two-dimensional. He dwells with you. So the exterior part, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God around us, you know, the Holy Spirit. But more than that, that God wants to dwell within us. God wants a relationship that is within us, right? Within us. So, let's finish there, right? So, God in the Old Testament asked the people to build a tabernacle. And God says, so that I can dwell among the people. And dwell among. So God not just want to dwell among us, right? As an individual, we are ten. These are the ten, right? The Bible says. So the Old Testament symbolic, the tabernacle, we are the ten here. God wants to dwell within us. Amen? So this is the intimacy that God wants. The giving of ourselves to Him. To accommodate Him within us. And this is what I want to share today. Okay? So, go to Exodus 25. Exodus 25. Little girls, can you understand what I'm saying? Yes. How about you? How about you? Red shirt. Okay. The blue shirt, I understand now. You should understand. Okay. All right. So, you, what about you? What about you? Understand what I'm saying? All right. What I'm saying. Okay. Let me dramatize a bit just for this. So, we have Sunday school on Friday night. Right. So, now, when we talk about Exodus 25, we're talking about the Israelites, right? The many, many tribes of Israel. And somewhere among there, God says, no, they're going to have a tent, right? Where the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. So that's the presence of God, you know, among the people. So I want you to look at it, the Israelite as one person. The nation of Israel as one person. So right smack in the center, somewhere in the center, right, is the pillar, okay, on top of the mercy seat. Okay, at the most holy place of the tent of the tabernacle. So God's presence is there. So I want you to see from a bird eye point of view, from the tribe of Judah and the three tribes in front, the south and the north and the east and the west. So all the tribes. So we look at it as one person. Okay, you, that's you. That's you. Right? And God's presence wants to dwell. So, when the cloud moves, they move. Right? So, that's how we walk with God. The presence of God, not just around us, but within us. And when God moves, we move. I like what Rick Joyner said. He said that the Enoch generation, right? The Enoch generation, God took him up before he died, right? So we are the Enoch generation in a way symbolic because we are ready for the rapture, right? God will take us up before we die. So the Enoch was known for what? He walked with God, right? So Rick Joyner said that this last days generation, the generation that is going to be raptured, are those who walk with God. So I wanted to say that intimacy with God is ultimate. Okay? Those who know their God shall do exploit. It's not knowing about God. It's knowing God in an intimate way will do exploits. Amen. You want to do God to do signs and wonders through you, to do all the miracles through you. It is an intimacy with God, so that you can be at the place where He wants to do miracles. Sometimes we are not seeing miracles because we are at the wrong place at the wrong time. He wants to do the miracle there, but we are walking our own way, right? So if we walk in step with Him, right, in step with Him, we can be at the right place at the right time that He will do His miracle. Sometimes you see a prophet, right? Prophet come. Okay, stop there. The portal is there, right? The portal is there. Okay, stand there. Don't move that. That's a spot for you. That's a spot for you. Boom. Now, I want to look at a bigger picture. Your life is the same as well. All right? You be at the right place, the right time. God do something. Boom. Amen. So we have to walk with God. We have to know when the pillar of cloud is moving, or when the pillar of fire is moving. It's moved. So the cloud is within us. Right? So, what is love? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So this love relationship that you have with God is a giving relationship. What does God wants from you? You see, when it comes to money, it is not... problem is not the money, it's the love for money. So, when you give something to God, what is of value to you is of value to God. If something that is not of value to you, it's nothing to you. Like you're super rich. Money is not so mean that much. Maybe inherited, you didn't work for it also. All inherited and you didn't sweat for it. So, maybe money is not so important for you. Maybe if something else is more important for you. And it means nothing. So, if you give that money to God, it doesn't mean that much to God, because it doesn't mean much to you, right? So what is really, only what is of value to you, when you give to God, that God values it. Amen? Amen. So now, Exodus 25. Are you ready for a feast? I'm giving a feast now. Just now was all the appetizer only. I give you the creamer, the last part. Because today you mentioned about resting in God, right? I'm going to talk about, because I preached on this in Africa while I was in Zambia. So they do not know this Chinaman from Malaysia, right? So they never heard of me. So they didn't really put their effort to organize properly and get as many people as well. When I preached the first night, they all regret. Oh, yo, I didn't know. Like, I've called all this. I've done all that. I've done all this. You know, we didn't know. So too late. Like, after a few days, I go already. Right. So, okay. Exodus 25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Oh boy, I find hard to stand on the spot, but I'll try. All right. Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Right? How many of you know love is voluntary? Love, that's why we are not robots. Robots means God press a button and you do it. There's no voluntary, there's no free will involved. You're just an automaton. You just do whatever God wants you to do. No. So, love is giving, and love is a free will offering. Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it, what? willingly. You see, God is inviting you to have an intimate relationship with Him, but He is not forcing you. He will never, ever force you. He will invite you. It's up to you to willingly say, God, I want to enter in. I want to enter into the Holy of Holies. I want to draw near to you. I want to be intimate with you. With his heart, you shall take my offering from your heart. Amen. Man, God is going to whisper to you in your heart, and it's up to you to respond. I believe God has spoken to your heart, not just tonight, but many, many nights or many, many years or months ago. God has whispering, come, draw near to me. Come, draw near to me. Come, be intimate with me. So it's up to you to respond from your heart. You know, I'm tired of going to church because I have to go to church on Sunday. And the way my wife put it, like, you have to check in, you know, like check in the office. Or I go to church on Friday. I go to Bible study on Friday. I go to church on Sunday. I go to Bible study on Friday night. All the box, you check. It's not willingly from the heart. How nice if all the Christian life is about willingly from the heart. Why? Because it is about a relationship. A relationship cannot be forced. It cannot. You cannot make you a robot automaton and you do it out of guilt. No. Can you imagine a relationship that is out of guilt? It has to be willingly from the heart. And is giving yourself to one another. You know, husband-wife relationship is a reflection of how God, you know, wants us. You know, two shall become one. How we become one is the giving of one ourselves to one another until we merge and become one. So, God is looking for this oneness with us when we give our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength to Him. Love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What does it mean to love God with all your heart, soul, mind? It's giving. It's giving your heart to Him, giving your soul to Him, giving your mind and strength so that He can dwell, He can be there, so that He can be one with you, within you. Amen? So today, you know, God wants to have an intimate relationship with you at within, inside. Through the giving of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength to Him. Let's keep on reading. Verse 3. And this is the offering. How many of you know this verse? God loves a cheerful giver. Okay. An offering is cheerful giving. Okay. All right. It's not paying your taxes, right? An offering. You don't pay your tax to God. God owns everything, right? God wants an offering from you. God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, sorry, I give you an electric shock today. Okay. I'm giving this question. If God loves a cheerful giver, what would God react or respond to a non-cheerful giving? Not happy, right? So it's said today. Some people say, oh, how much I give. Oh, how much I did this. How much I did this. But God is not happy. Because it is not cheerful giving. Because cheerful giving comes from an intimate relationship with God. Amen. That same Mary who chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. And many Bible scholars say that the woman who anointed Jesus' head with a fragrant oil, expensive fragrant oil, that she reserved it for her future husband. She probably saved that fragrant oil, very expensive, that usually they will use it for the wedding night, for get married, pour it on the head of Jesus and anointed Jesus for his burial. So the one who was intimate with Christ was the most. Amen. 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 Martha, not mentioned anymore, but Mary, right, gave her lifelong savings that she kept, the fragrant oil.
Okay? So there is power in intimacy. When a person is intimate with God, he is willing to do everything for God. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze. Let me begin with this. Right? Let me begin with this. Now, remember I told you, what that is not of value to you has no value to God. Because God owns everything. God don't need anything from you, actually. God need your financial support. God say, oh, I need your money, God. I got to pay the bill, you know. God don't need anything from you. In fact, God don't even need the building. You spend so much money on building. God don't even need that building. I like one prophet, you say, I mean, two or three under coconut tree, God can be there. He can have a service under coconut tree. So the thing is, what God wants is a relationship, right? That giving is an act of relationship. So what is of value to you will be of value to Him. So the significance of gold, silver, and bronze is to find what makes this material valuable. God did not ask for simple things that they can find anywhere, but it is something that is valuable. What makes gold valuable? What makes gold valuable? Because gold glitters in the light. And gold is the most malleable. Malleable means you can actually make it in, easily made it into jewelry, right? Very easy to work with. The most easy to work with metal is gold, and it glitters in the light. So when you give yourself to God by making yourself malleable. What is malleable? It means God can easily shape you. Some people cannot be shaped, but God wants us to be gold. He can shape us to what a design He wants. So when we give ourselves to Him, that He can shape us. So that, why? So that the glory, the gold that glitters in the light, the glory of Christ, the beauty of Christ can shine through us. Okay, so gold signifies, right, the giving of yourself, being malleable, being easily shaped, let your heart be easily shaped by Him, so that God can give us in that divine exchange His the glory and beauty of Christ. The next one is silver. Silver was used for mirror. It reflects the sunlight. So silver, you can see in, at the tabernacle, is silver. Gold is inside the tent, but the silver is outside the tent. So when the sunlight, it reflects the sunlight, and also they use it as a mirror. Those days don't have, like today, mirror. They have used silver as a mirror. So it's a reflection of Christ. A reflection of Christ. Today, we have a lot of self-image. You know, I want to have a, create a good impression. We have that phrase. I want to create. We have our own identity. We have our own image that we want to carry to others. But God is saying, you know, give me that. Don't care what people think of you. The most important thing is people see Christ in you. Amen. Amen. So that you will be a reflection of Christ. So that you will shine Christ to others. The light of God is shining Christ. So there's gold and the silver and there's bronze. Now bronze is, during the Bronze Age and during that time, bronze is widely used as tools or weapons of war. Tools. And you see that the altar of burnt offering at the outer court, you know, a lot of fire burning, right? So the bronze can take a lot of this heat and pressure and whatever weather that is the heat upon it, because these furniture are all outside the tent, right? So bronze speak of strength and durability. Strength and durability. So today we are so proud, you know. See, that's why some people who are very strong in themselves, very hard to be intimate with God. Have you realized that? They are very strong. They are, If they say, I'm going to do this, they can do it. They are very strong. They can achieve many things, right? And they find this type of people, it's very difficult to be intimate with God. So today, God wants us to give Him our abilities, our strength, and for some of us, a strong character. You know, some people who are high achievers, high performers, they are very strong character. They can do a lot of things. When they can, if they set their mind on something, they sure can. Usually, they will achieve it. So these type of people have to give God their strength, right? So that the strength of Christ can be in them, so that they will last through the journey in Christ, the ups and downs, the different weathers that will hit upon you. So today there is a divine exchange. Lord, I give you my strength. I give you my ability. Because sometimes I'm so proud of my strength and ability. You know, I can do this, I can do that, I'm good at this, I'm good at that, and I hold on to it. It's like my idol. No, God, sometimes we pray, God, let your will be done. God might lead you to do something that's not your strength, that make you so weak. You know, I'm an introvert. Today I'm preaching to you. I'm an introvert. I came from a broken family. By right, you look at my profile, today they call it profiling. I shouldn't be a preacher. I may confess, I don't even have a diploma in any kind. Any kind, whatever. I don't even have that. But God used me to teach in a Bible school accredited by the Assemblies of God in Luzon, Philippines. I was teaching pastors and future pastors. See why? The Bible says God used the weak to shame the strong. You see? So when you are weak, then you become strong, because Christ's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen? So give your strength to God today. Right? Sometimes, how many of you want God's will to be done in your life? Right? God might lead you into something that you feel you're very weak in. God, I cannot do this, God. This is not my strength. This is not what I'm good at. Good lah, like that. So that you'll be totally dependent on God. Right? So, I don't want to cover. It's okay if I don't cover the 12. Okay, because I think it's a bit long. So I just cover just one or two more materials. Blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Now, why it is blue, purple, and scarlet? It's a thread, right? It's a string. Like, you know, a string, a color thread where they will sew the thread, right, onto the clothing, right? And because the dye is very expensive dye, so they cannot afford to dye the whole apparel. Very expensive, because one of the dyes, they have to dive to the bottom of the sea and take the shell, the mollusk shell, and from the shell, only extract very little ink, okay? Very little ink for the dye. So much time and effort just to get a little bit of ink. That's why those are so expensive. So only, even just the thread, only the royalty and the rich can afford it. And that not to the dye the whole apparel, just a few design on the somewhere, you know, especially at the skirt there, they have a few design here. Okay, blue, purple, and scarlet. Yeah, you can see the lines there. So it's distinguishing them, like they are number one, they are rich, they can afford that dye. Just for the three stripes or two stripes, and they are probably a royalty. So people would know. People look at it, they are rich and royalty. So, it speaks of two things. It speaks of how we distinguish, right, in Christ. Are you the same like everybody else? Are you the same? You know, people look at you, no different, you are just like everybody else. Or Christ is so outstanding in your life. When people look at you, they can see something different about you. There is certain things, certain distinguished something about you. All right. So God wants to want Christ to be outstanding in your life. And why the ink or the dye was so expensive? Because it took a lot of time just to get a little bit of ink. So it's about spending time with God. Amen. You cannot be say intimate with Christ on the go all the time. I want a quick, easy, and convenient intimacy with God. Sometimes, just like Jesus, at times he would just go away from ministry, away from the crowd, away from his disciples, to be alone, to be quiet before God. And it requires time to be intimate with God. I finish one material, then I come back to the Sabbath. Okay. Jesus says, you know, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. Right? So that part is Matthew 11 and 12. Alright, so but I just cover just one more material, that's all. Okay. Fine linen. Okay. Girls, behind. Okay, I want you to imagine the fine linen. It's the loom and the yarn. You know, have you seen before the loom and the yarn? It's like the silk. You see silk before? Line. It's one small little line. Then you put all together, become a cloth, right? So, okay, line by line, precept upon precept. That's what the Bible says. So the fine linen is made of many, many little tiny lines of the material. Usually it's jute or, you know. So, and it speaks of our thoughts. Okay, when the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, I believe, line upon line, precept upon precept, it talks about your thoughts. The way your thoughts are formed. It talks about the pattern of your thinking, your mentality. So God wants everything from us. Because what the Bible says, what Jesus taught, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So it has to include your thought pattern, your mindset. It has to include your thought life. So God today God, I'm giving you myself. I'm giving you with it. So Holy Spirit, come into my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, and so that Lord, all that I have or all that I am belongs to you. Amen. Amen. All that I have and all that I am belong to you. Amen. What's your name?
Elkan.
E-L.
Yeah.
E-L for Elohim.
El.
Elkanah. Or El is God, you know. El is God. Okay. Now, since your name is El, I tell you what the word. In the beginning, God, everything, the big Genesis 1, God created everything, Elohim. So the basic word of El, right, is like this. Okay, the basic word El, okay? First, El, okay, is from the original, the original word mean, for like arm twisting, like somebody who's strongest. Okay, El is the strongest. So those days, they don't have concept of God, right? So this word Elohim is borrowed from the culture of those days, from the people of those days. So the word Elohim. El. So there's like you do arm resting who's strongest, more El, alright? Then during a time and season of war, these tribes, different tribes will fight during a season of war. And the winning tribe, the tribe who conquered all the other tribes. So he become the chief of that conquering tribe, will become the chief of all the other chiefs. So he's the chief. Okay, he's the chief. Right? So the word El is also from there. Right? So the strongest, the mightiest. Then the earliest compounded word of El, okay, was El Elyon. El Elyon means God the highest. So the word El means we talk of God is the strongest, the mightiest, and the highest. He is God. Amen. That's why Elijah challenged, okay, the prophets of Baal. Right? Who is the strongest? Who is the El? The strongest, the mightiest, and the highest. Amen. Amen. So come, brother El. Right, I'm going to read. Come in front here. You don't mind, huh? We go back to Sunday school. So we have Sunday school on Friday night. Okay, Matthew 11. I just finished with this. Okay, you see here first. See here first. Okay, come see here first. All right, see here. Don't mind, huh? Hold the ball. Okay. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Okay, Matthew 11, I finish with this. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, and the sheep lay down, okay, on green pastures, right? The sheep lay down. So the sheep is on rest, right? So that the sheep can munch the grass, right? Just as Mary, right, sit at the feet of Jesus so that Mary can hear the words of Jesus and meditate and process the word of Jesus. So when you are resting here today, you are partaking of the word. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, in the original Bible text, there's no 28, 29, 30 and all that. It's all together. Okay, so take my yoke upon you and what? And what? And what? Learn from me. See, to truly learn, to get revelation from the word, to learn from Jesus, you have to come to a point of rest. Right? You're always busy, run here, run there, run here, run there. You know, that's why most of my revelation I get was when I was jobless. Another testimony altogether. I was jobless for 2 years. And nothing to do but to pray and read the Bible and seek God for truth. Right? So, okay, and we learn to rest. Learn to rest, then the Lord can feed us. So that's why people don't get revelation, they get truth, because they want very fast. Right? They want everything on the go. They want quick, oh, got to go already. I have my 10 minutes devotion. Now I have my... So then you wonder why they don't get revelation truth from God. You need to come to a point of rest and say, God, I'm not in a hurry. I don't have a plan. You see, when you come to God, says, I don't have a plan today. I just want to hear you and wait upon you and learn from you. Then you get revelation. Okay? Because if you say, after I give half an hour, after that I got a plan idea. Yeah. So if I don't get anything within half an hour, that's it. Forget it. Right? So, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So the rest and the feeding is together. You rest so that you can feed on the word. Amen. Now, as I said, in the original Bible text, there's no chapter 11, there's no chapter 12, there's no verse 28, 29, and 30. Actually, it's a continuous, right? So we read chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. What Sabbath means? Rest, right? Rest. On the seventh day, God rested from his work, right? So it's rest. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look,
your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered? Okay, let's make it quick, okay? Go to verse 8. Okay, I finished already. Verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So which is greater? The Lord of the Sabbath is greater or the day of the Sabbath?
Lord,
okay? Is Jesus Lord only, your Lord only on Sunday? No, right? It's every day, right? Every day. Okay? So you look at the whole sermon, right? You will have rest when Jesus become your Lord. When Jesus become your Lord, right? Then you will have rest. He tell you what to do, when to do, how to do, where to do, and everything. He becomes your Lord. Take my yoke upon you. What is this? Okay, yoke. It is a big ox and a small ox. Who is a big ox? Who is a big ox? Jesus, right? Right? We are the small ox. So two oxes go together, right? Come. Come. Okay, he's taller than me, so it's a big ox. Oh, Jesus. Okay? Right? Now, is Jesus the bigger and stronger ox? So he, my yoke is easy because he is taking care of the strength, you know. My, so I very smart, okay? Okay, the yoke of the ox, to drag the cart, drag the plow from behind, right? So he is doing all the work, correct or not? So what if, like, I go the wrong timing? I want to go my way, or I want to go faster, I want to go slower. Suck it, right? Pain, right? Because he is going like this, I'm trying to, you know, my neck will be very pain. So if I'm smart, I just follow his timing, right? I just follow his timing and walk in tandem, in step with Jesus. Amen? So like this, that's what I did in Africa, in Zambia. Okay, put your head down, this is a yoke, okay? Okay, right leg. Left leg. Right leg. Left leg. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So, thank you, brother. Thank you. So, when you walk in tandem, in step with Jesus, you will have rest. Right? I struggle through this, you know. I struggle through my brother here knows. Right? Every time he will remind me of this. Right? So, this message is very relevant to me as well. Right? I always want to be in front of God, you know. Want to be faster. You know, the problem is, if you are slower, so you got a problem, right? Because the big ox is going faster, you're going slower, you'll be dragging your neck also along with you. So you want your yoke to be easier, is to be in time. God is the chief ox, he's the chief, he's the Lord, right? Be in time with him. Then you will find rest in your soul. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So let's everybody close our eyes. Lord, I thank you, Lord. This is the message today. Lord, your yoke is easy when you are our Lord, Lord. So today, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you, Lord, to walk in time, in step, in tandem with you. Lord, we want to go where you want us to go. We want, Lord, to do what you want us to do in your time, Lord. We don't want to go faster than you, and also we don't want to go slower than you. Lord, today I just, on behalf of everyone here, Lord, who are seeking your will, who are seeking your will, even the young ones behind there, they ask, Lord, what is your will for my life? What is your plan for my life? Show me, Lord, what you want me to do for my future. Lord, today, Lord, we know, Lord, that you are our Lord. Our Lord. You are our Lord. And freedom comes when you are our Lord. And we seek you, we ask you, Lord, show us. We don't want our own way. We don't want our own plan. We don't want our own
destiny, our own goal. Lord, show us, give us your plan, your goal, your will for my life. And Holy Spirit, help me, Lord, to walk in step, in tandem with the Lord. Amen. 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 When you walk in the will of God, you have such intimacy with Him. And you will come to the right place at the right time to see the miracle of God. Amen. How many of you want God to do miracles in your life? How many of you want to see the work of God, the hand of God in your life? So as we be intimate in with God, we will find ourselves here at the right place, at the right time, and we will see the miracle that God has for us. Amen. Amen. May Lord, we never be at the wrong place, at the wrong time, and miss your plan for our lives. The miracle that you have in store for us. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us. There are remas, that I'm sure what Pastor Zach shared with us here and there, that through the spoken word, God ministers to our heart. Why not we just stand for a while as we respond to God? Each time God speaks to us, we are told in the Bible that His word is spirit, His word is life. So there is an impartation of His life and His spirit in our hearts. I'm sure you know what Pastor Zach has shared with us. It is also in line with what we have been talking about, what we have been looking at. So I believe God is once again reminding us to have this exchange with Him, to have an intimate walk. All of us long to be in the perfect will of God, to fulfill His plan, to fulfill His destiny. But the question is, how are we relating to our God? How are we exchanging our lives with Him? Let's sing this song as we respond to God. If Brother Joseph can help us, this is my desire. Do you know this song? You can, right? Not sure. Am I? You can sing without the music. Okay. You know this song?
This is my desire to moment I'm away, Lord, help. give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my soul. Sometimes we are immune to certain types of trial, and we do not know that sometimes God is working in other areas of our lives. We thought that it is the enemy. But sometimes that's the way God works, that there is something He's molding us. Are we able to become like what Pastor Zach shared with us, that He can mold us, become malleable, that God, I am in your hands. Even when you know, I'm of no value in people's eyes, but I am valuable in your eyes. So can you offer that which is of value inside you to God? To different people, it is different things. Some people, you know, like what was shared today, it can be money, it can be other things. But sometimes that which is of value, we protect it, we guard it with all our hearts. Our reputation, our image, our whatever that we hold tightly on. So take this time and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you work in us not to destroy us. You work in us not to kill us. Sometimes we feel like we have lost our ego. We have lost our pride. We lost our self-image. It's like we have lost everything. And in that place, God can become very real to us. And we lose ourselves in Him. That is truly, we can say, Lord, I desire to honor you. All my life, I seek to feed my ego. All my life, I seek to build an image, a reputation about myself. But God, the more I want to go deeper in you, it seems that you're working to tear away my reputation, to tear away my whatever self-worth I have. Not to destroy me, but so that I can discover something deeper inside you. Another facet of your revelation. It can be painful to the flesh, but we know it is that pull, the Holy Spirit is pulling us nearer to Him. That is your prayer. We'll sing this again. Offer yourself to Him afresh. Lord, I give you my heart.
give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Your heart, your soul is very precious. Can you really give it to God?
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
Close your eyes, open your heart, and talk to God. God loves us. He's not out to punish us, not to destroy us, not to tear away our face, not to cause us to lose our image. But He's after something precious inside us. So just lift your hands, talk to God, and just talk to Him.